God, for a place where the soul never dies.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm on my way to that fair land. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be in God's house this morning. If you would pray, there's a lot of folks on the prayer list. I'll read it to you here in just a few minutes. And then if you would remember, I guess there's a lot traveling today. And I mentioned it this morning, so I'm going to, Sarah's going to have surgery tomorrow. So if you would pray for all of them, Jimmy and Melissa, all of them that's traveling. I don't know who all is going down there, but I guess they're headed off that way. And then I guess some of them will be coming back. They had Jace and Haley got married yesterday down in Knoxville, and some's down there. I said it wrong earlier. I'll say that they got hung up in Knoxville. I said they got hung over in Knoxville, but anyway. But anyway, that's all right. They'll be headed back. Anyway, so if you would, you pray for them. I hope the Lord blesses them, blesses their family, life, and everything that's starting here. And anyway, it's a big thing. It's a big responsibility. Everybody, whether it's single or married or whatever, hey, you need the Lord.
Amen.
It don't work without Him.
Amen.
You can't make it without Him.
Amen.
And but anyway, let me read the prayer list to you. Ask you to pray for these and pray for Brenda Stanley, Kenneth and Norma Blevins, Danny Minton, Danny Tester, Bobby and Gina and Charlotte, Robert Schrader and Bill Donahue, and Wayne and Renee Mullins, Matthew Canner, Brother Tony Rich and Johnny and Pat Burton, David Gabbard, James Cable, Robbie and Carrie Gabbard, Bobby Taylor, and then if you would pray for Robin Bordwine, she got foot surgery on Friday. And then if you would pray for Rosemma, she's been having a few problems also, and she just needs church to pray for her. Lord, touch her and help her. Remember, as I said, Sarah Minton, she's got surgery tomorrow. Phyllis Carver and Olema Rice and Ruth Thornburg and Gail Ripplinger, Jane and Debbie Parker and Hattie Crane and Judy Campbell, Linda Berry and Barbie McMurray, Becky Garrison, Rita Smith. Continue to pray for the lost. If you would, Chloe, her Aunt Christy Singleton had to go back into the hospital. So if you would remember them. And then today at I guess starting here in just a little bit at noon, Oakley Cook from noon to 2, I think it is, they're having the funeral for Hunter Trivett, and then the graveside at Shipley Cemetery at 2:30. If you would pray for all of that family, and then if you would pray for all the missionaries. And while I'm speaking on them, I'm glad Matt's here, and he Amen. Seems to be doing okay. And then... Brother Nathan will be here tonight, Nathan Reed. So if y'all will, come back and be here. And he's going to, I asked him, I want him to preach, but I want him to tell us a few things about, we've been sending some stuff over there for a while, and it's been a great blessing. I want y'all to hear that. He tells me, but I can't relay it the way he does. And so they're going to come over this afternoon, but pray for them as they travel. Pray for them this morning. Then I want to mention this also. Talked to Brother Gary Stikes, and he called me, or he actually messaged me last night. I talked to him this morning. There's a young lady in their church, she's 20 years old, that's got cancer, and they took her to the hospital over the last few days. And they said that if the Lord doesn't touch her, there's nothing else the doctors can do. And so she ain't going to make it long. So if you would, pray for her. Then pray for Gary this morning. He's preaching. His pastor has had stents put in his heart. I think it was Friday, Thursday or Friday. And they had to stop. They thought he's going to have a heart attack, and so they're going to send him to Duke and see if they can finish up what they're doing. But pray for him. We're going to get a couple come. Samuel, you and Willie come and take up, or whoever, come and take up the offering this morning. We're out of kilter, not having the choir and everything. You know, we say we ain't got a routine. We got more than one we think we do. Willie, if you would pray for us this morning.
Our Father, in Jesus' name, we come this morning. We want to come and pause and say thank you, Lord, one more time for your blessed, eternal, darling Son. Lord, we thank you, our Father, for loving us. I'm so glad, our Father, that he came. You showed the love. Our Father, when we was in condition, Lord, we was lost. We didn't, our Father, Lord God, we was going down for the last time. No hope, our Father. But I'm glad, our Father, that he loved us. The Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave. I'm glad that he loved those sinners.
Amen.
Lord, I appreciate you loving us, Lord. Amen. When we didn't have hope, but now we got hope. Amen. I'm glad it's eternal hope. Our Father, I'm glad that he's no ending giver. I'm glad what he done for us. He done it forever. I'm glad this morning there's nothing owed on it this morning. The debt's
Amen.
Been paid. And it's paid in full. And our Father, as we come this morning, I pray that God, that our Father, God the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
God would come and help us this morning, our Father. Lord, we realize this morning that, God, we need you more than anything. Our Father, we cannot do without you this morning. Our Father, I pray in Jesus' holy name this morning, God, that we be conscious, Lord, of the good Spirit of God this morning. Our Father, may we open our hearts and let him help us this morning. I'm glad that he's the only help we got this morning. We don't have no help. Help is not in man, our Father. Man cannot help us, and our Father, this morning. But I'm glad that the great I am, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, him that the creator, him that sets upon the circle of the world, that
Amen.
God, I'm glad he's able. I'm glad that you're able to do anything this morning. Our Father, we come this morning, and our Father, these, it's been mentioned this morning. Our Father, I pray in your divine power and grace and mercy, our Father, would you extend to them? Our Father, would you help them this morning? Our Father, I'm glad that you're that good and you're able to do exceedingly abundantly. We could thank or ask this morning. Our Father, though we are feeble and weak and frail and poor and needy creatures, our Father, just an old sinner saved by thy marvelous Amen. Grace. Our Father, Lord God, we confess that we need you. Our Father, this morning we cannot do without you. Our Father, without you, it's nothing and it'd be nothing. And our Father, I pray this morning, our Father, for these that are lost, our Father, they're already condemned, Lord. The sentence on them, our Father. But I'm glad Jesus is the only one that can come and our Father and revive them. Our Father, do in their heart what they need this morning. Our Father, I pray this morning the Word of God, I would get in there, Lord, and the seed of the Word of God, the living Word, our Father, it'll make them alive. It'll do, our Father, what they need in their soul.
Amen.
Our Father, this morning, God bless all of our missionaries. Help them. God, we love them. We appreciate them this morning. Our Father, I ask you to bless his servant, Lord, this morning. Our Father is humble as you know how, Lord. Would you breathe upon him? Would you touch him this morning? Our Father, would you give him the words? Our Father, and Lord, give us ears and our hearts to receive that blessed eternal word of God this morning. Our Father, I thank you, Lord. We bow our worthy heads and thank you for what you do this morning. Our Father, because you did it all, and we ask it in Jesus' holy name. For his sake we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
let's sing happy birthday to Diane before we get going.
Donnie's is tomorrow.
Donnie's is tomorrow, too. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. come up here and help us.
Yeah.
Y'all want to see what we have there?
I don't think I can see it.
Tell of the others
Thank God. Well, they said it right. You must have salvation. The good life you're living won't do it alone. It won't do it at all. I mean, you can write that off. It won't do it at all. I mean, you must have salvation. And I appreciate the Lord. Now, I want you to pray for me this morning. If you would, I'd appreciate it. Thursday night, I tried to preach on a little bit, the faith of the operation of God. And I want to go back to Colossians chapter 2 this morning. And I'd like to preach on a little bit the surgery of God. And so you have to have this operation. It's not a question. I mean, you have to have it. And I want to read just a little bit down through here. Once again, the scriptures that I read the other day. And I'm going to skip down just a little bit. No, I'm not. I really want to back up to verse 1, Colossians chapter 2. And this is what Paul wrote. He said, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. And unto all riches and full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, and as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is head of all principality and power. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off of the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein you also are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." That's a pretty good operation, ain't it? Thank God. "Now listen, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Thank God. Father, we bow before you and we thank you today for the reading of thy word. I ask you this morning, Lord, that you'd have your will and your way around here. These are your grounds and this is your place, Lord. We the sheep of your pasture, Father. Lord, we would to hear your voice. We would to hear thy word, Father. Lord God, I pray today that we could exhort the church, Lord God. And if there be any here that's lost under conviction this morning, Father, Lord God, you'd save them. And if there be any here lost this morning that's not under conviction, Father, we pray the Holy Ghost. Lord God, we can't do nothing without you. We don't want to even make that effort, Father. Lord God, I pray today that the Holy Ghost would come and speak to their hearts, Lord God. Get them going to hell lost. I believe Jesus come to seek and to save that which is lost. I believe he's the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. I believe today, Father, Lord God, he'll find them. And I believe today he is the only one that can do this. I pray tonight, Father, this morning, Father, you'd have once again your will and your way. We'll thank you for that which you do. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to look at this just for a few minutes. And as I said the other Thursday night, I guess this began two Thursdays ago down there at the river as we was having the baptism and all of that. And I began thinking about this. The Bible said, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. Thank God. But I got to thinking about this a lot, preached a little bit down there on it. And then last Thursday, I preached on the faith of the operation of God. And I'm not going to back up and talk about that a whole lot, but I do want to say this. I was trying to preach Thursday. There's three things that I saw. I'm sure there's more, but more that I saw. I found out in reading this that you have to have a diagnosis. That's what you get when you go to the doctor, when you're sick, when there's something wrong, and you get a diagnosis. One day I walked into the church different than any other time I'd ever walked in. I walked in and there's something wrong. And that's just the way it is. I went to church a lot in my life and I didn't realize there's anything wrong. But one day I walked in and I found out there's something wrong. And it wasn't wrong with the church. A lot of people blame it on the church. No, the problem was with me. I was the one that was wrong. That was the diagnosis. And anyway, I found out then I didn't understand all of this and maybe don't understand all of it now, but I didn't realize that I needed an operation. I needed an operation. And I needed a donor. But I needed a proper donor. I needed somebody that was not like me. See, I was sick. I had problems. I needed somebody that was not sick, that didn't have no problems. I needed somebody. I mean, the thing about it is, you go out there now and you get a heart transplant, you got to find the right donor or liver transplant. You got to find something like that. You got to find the right one. Well, I was a sinner. I had to find somebody that wasn't a sinner. Amen. To be my donor. That's what I had to find. I mean, I knew all about sin. Sin was my problem. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. I needed to find somebody that didn't sin to be my donor. Thank God, and I found Jesus. But then once I heard about him, I also had to have a great physician. I had to have somebody that knew how to perform this operation. I told him then I didn't want a DI hire to do my operation. I didn't want that. Yeah. Lord God, I wanted the best. Amen. Yeah, I was thinking about James. I think it's Luke that's telling me a little bit about James. And that's the way, you know, he just graduated and he's a pilot now and got his license. And I trust he's a good one. And to think about that's what I want. I want a good one. I don't want somebody that's chosen because of color or gender or whatever. I don't care about that. But if I'm getting on an airplane, I want the best one. I don't want, you know what I mean? And that's the way I want this physician. I want the best one. I want the specialist. I want somebody, I mean, it don't matter what you lay before him, he can take care of it. I found that out about Jesus. They'd bring the halt, the withered, the lame, the blind, everybody before him, and he healed them all. Thank God. I mean, when he'd get around the dead, he would raise them. That's who I want. I want a specialist. Thank God. Now, like I said, I don't want to preach all that over again, but I want to talk to you more about the surgery itself this morning. I'm glad he performed a surgery. Thank God, and when you get born again, that's what he does. He performs the surgery. Now let's talk about it real quick in verse 11. Well, let me back up. Here's the thing in verse 10, it said, and you are complete in him. There's the need. You need to be in him. And him in you. You'll go back over here in verse chapter 1 and verse 27. It said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery of the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're not going to heaven unless you got Christ in you. And you're not going unless you're in him. You must be complete. That's a pretty in-depth surgery, ain't it? Oh, Lord. But it's what he said. He said, in whom also you're, he's talking about this surgery now. You are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I mean, what he's saying here, this old man has to be cut loose from the soul and the spirit. Has to be. That makes that scripture over there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 a little bit more plainer. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, listen to this, dividing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. He, in the beginning of this surgery, he cuts the soul and spirit away from the bones and the marrow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good surgery, ain't it?
Amen.
I mean, this book is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yes,
he uses the right tool to do it.
Yeah.
It was the word of God that got me under conviction.
Yeah.
There's an old white-headed man that used to get up in the pulpit, and I don't remember too much he said, just to be honest about it, but he'd get up there every little bit, and he'd say this, and you must be born again. And that, I mean, here was my problem. I would tell God all the time, just like Terry said preacher did, I'd tell him all the time I'd be good, I'd quit this, I'd start this, but I couldn't do none of that. I couldn't.
Amen.
He'd get up there and I'd say, well, I'm going to do this. And he'd say, you must be born again.
Amen.
And that took me out of the equation.
Amen.
So in this, I mean, here's the thing. You got to put off the body of sins of the flesh. Here's the thing. You've got an infectious area. You've got a problem. You do, and I, this old man thing, he's a problem. He's a problem. And I mean, you say, I don't have one. Well, the scripture says you do. You do. The Bible said in Romans 7:18, Paul said, for I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He said, this flesh isn't just no good. In Romans 3:12, he said, they have all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable.
Amen.
I mean, it's unprofitable. And he said, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. I mean, the Bible said, the fool has saith in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they.
Yeah.
Corrupt. And have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Isaiah got over there in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, and he said this, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags.
Amen.
I'm just talking about how, you know, what he's cutting loose.
Amen.
This is what you got to get rid of.
Amen.
I mean, he, over in Psalms chapter 39 and verse 5, it says, verily every man in his best state is altogether vanity.
Amen.
That's what we got to get rid of, this old man. Now, I'll say this, and I'll try to do it politely. I said a little bit about it earlier. Preacher Potter used to tell us all the time that we were sorry and no good. Well, I mean, you know, you say that offends me. No, he was trying. The Bible said he giveth grace unto the humble.
Yeah.
He resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Trying to keep us down there where we could get a hold of God and let us know who we really are. You know, even if Aunt Spurgeon said one time, Charles Spurgeon, he'd say, if somebody says something bad about you, don't fret. You're probably worse than their description. I mean, don't fret about it. It's all right. I mean, you're worse than what they've said. You know, they really just don't know you. They're just talking to me. Now, they should be saying it, but that's true, isn't it? You know. But, you know, and then Paul come over and he realized how sorry this flesh was. And he said something like this. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Well, he gives us the answer here. Buried with him in baptism, wherein you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. I like that. So he does a surgery. And in this surgery, this is what he has to do. He has to cut loose every cell you got from the soul and spirit. There has to be a surgery. You can't go to heaven without this. You must be. And then, I mean, he starts doing some things. Now, I want to say this. The Bible said, I want to look up there real quickly. I want to talk about how he does it. So you have to be in Christ. He takes that soul and spirit and puts it into the body of Christ. Amen. That body of Christ is the church. That's his body. He's the head. This is the body. The church is the body. And I want to say something about that. It's not made up of a lot of good people. It's made up of sinners. Thank God that God cut loose the outward man and put him in a perfect body. Now, whatever you might think of the church is perfect. You say it's full of hypocrites. No. No, I'm telling you right up front, I'm no good. Amen. What's hypocritical about that? Amen. I'm just telling you God's good. Amen. I'm not telling you that I'm any count. I know I'm no count. I've gave you all kinds of scriptures that I can just testify and say, yes, that's me. I'm no good. I'm no better than anybody else. I'm not. But anyway, I got to thinking about these things. He cuts loose every cell of the soul of man. And I like this. Listen how he does it. Verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Now here's how this takes place. In my life, I've had several surgeries. A bunch, more than I care to talk about. I've been put back together with sutures. They use polymer sutures. They'll sew you back together. I've had staples. I've been stapled back together. I've had that glue adhesive, you know, little minor things. They'll glue you back together. They got them paper stitches. Lord God, I've had all kinds of good stuff. But you know, after a little while, they got to take that out. They got to take that out. I've went up there and it looked like, and I thought, you know, the worst thing was them stupid staples. You know, and it looked like they take that thing that you take it out of paper, you know, and they'll pull them things out and it, you know, it just stings a little bit. But you know, I didn't like it too much. But that's just the way it was. But when he puts you in the body, I like this. I've never seen this before. He knits you together. And I sat over there here a while back and I was thinking about this. Santana, she knits. And she'll be working. And that's a loop inside of a loop. Ain't that right? Just right back and forth. Amen. Bless God, this thing is interweaved so much, you can't pull it apart. Amen. Now, what he uses is love. Now, what does that sound like? Romans 8, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Amen? That's what he used to knit us together. I mean, my God, he interweaved that thing with love. I mean, Lord God, he just, I mean, it's all together. You can't, I mean, it's like taking mud and water and stirring it up and then trying to separate the mud and the water back. It ain't possible. You can't get it apart. Thank God he took us, cut this old man loose, separated this old man from the soul and the spirit, put it in the body of Christ, and knit it together in love, thank God. Lord God, it's been helping me. I've just been thinking about a few things. That's why he could say over there, I mean, the Bible talked about some things, and I thought about it. It said in Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? And then he come down in verse 38, he said, for I'm persuaded. Ain't that good? That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's pretty good, ain't it? Lord God, we've been knit together in love. I'm talking about he cut this old man loose, cut your soul and spirit, put it in the body of Christ, and knit it together, thank God. Now, how are you going to get loose from that? In fact, it's so good over there in Song of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 6, he said, set me as a seal upon my heart, and as a seal upon my arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath the most vehement flame. Listen to this, verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love. I'm talking about what he done. Well, don't that make John 3:16 sound so good? For God so loved the world. Why did he love the world? Because that's what he's going to use to sew you in Christ with. That was the sutures. That's the stitches. That's what you're knit together. He didn't just come through there, you know, they'll just sew you up, just a few. No, he weaved you in. Thank God we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Oh, Lord God, I'm in there so deep you couldn't get me out. You can't even find me in there. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, the former things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The old man is dead. He's passed away, thank God. In fact, and when he done this, I want to talk about this just for a minute. I don't know what kind of time I've got, but I want to talk to you just a minute about two of the most important verses here. I mean, when he cut you loose, he puts you in another body. And in that body, listen to this. And you see, here's the operation of God. Faith in the operation of God who raised him from the dead. All right. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having, listen, this is the body you're in, having forgiven all trespasses. Blotting out all ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And that's pretty good stuff, ain't it? But I was thinking about this. 1 Timothy 1:9 says this, knowing this, that the law was not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, and manslayers. Well, that's who I was, but that's not who I am now. The law was not made for the righteous man. You know who the righteous man is, don't you? Amen. The law wasn't made for him. He wasn't going to break that law. I mean, he come to fulfill the law, not to break it. I'd already broke it. He come to be sin for me. Who knew? The Bible said he had made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When he sowed me in that body, he made me righteous, thank God. And all of that stuff that was contrary to me, he took it out of the way. Said, it ain't made for you no more. You're in the righteous man. And he knit me in there with love. And nothing can separate me from that love. I want to tell you this morning. God's not mad at you. Yeah, man, he loves you this morning. Everything he done was because he loves you. He came because he loved you, thank God. He ain't mad because you're lawless or ungodly or anything. I said he come to cut you loose from that and put you in the body of Christ and knit you in there, knit together in love, loop you in. Oh, Lord, helps my heart. Somebody said, I mean, here's the thing. If you cut one strand, you'd destroy the whole church, whole body. But don't worry about that. Life can't do it. Death can't do it. Perils can't do it. Problems can't do it. Storms can't do it. I read here where he let me read it again. The Bible said he spoiled principalities. You know what he done? He took their strength. If there was anything that could cut you loose, he took their knife. He took their scissors. He took their scalpel. They don't have nothing to work with. They've got nothing to work with to get you from the love of God. There is no power no more. You've been put in the body of Christ. Lord God, you're a believer now. You're in him and he's in you. It's forever settled in the heavens. Ain't a thing hell can do. Ain't a thing the devil can do. You're safe. You're secure. You're in the body. There's been an operation. There's been a surgery took place and got rid of this nasty old man and put him in one that's righteous, thank God. And sewed it up. Sewed it together. Now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Lord God, if you're saved, you're in the best shape you've ever been in or could be in. Lord God, you've done better than won the lottery. Terry taught this morning that's all vanity. Solomon had it all and it's all vanity. Vexation of spirit. He said, all of it, I tried, I got it all. Now it just vexes me. Just troubles me. But I'll tell you what, I've never been troubled in him. I'm sealed until the day of redemption. Lord God, ain't God good to us? I mean, he's been better to us than we could even talk about. But I find in this operation, we're knit together. And I'm going to say this and I'll let you go in a minute. I started talking about he cuts loose that infectious area at this old flesh. But here he puts us in a perfect body. Listen, this is what I want to say. One that has natural immunity. That which is born of God cannot sin. For his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin. See, now you some of y'all looking at me and say, you don't sin? No, my old man still does. But that one that's born on the inside and that's been put in him cannot. There's part of me that cannot stop. And then yet there's part of me that's got a natural immunity he cannot start. It's his nature to be righteous. It's his nature to be holy. It's his nature to be godly. It's just natural to him. That which is born of God cannot. Ain't that good? they say, well, you know, if you get COVID, it's better to get it and, you know, have the natural immunity so you can fight it off the next time. I don't even have a warfare. I've got one in the flesh. And the spirit and the flesh war against one another. Because that inward man says, I'm not going to do that. And that outward man says, yes, I am. So God had to cut the outward man loose and put you in one that did not. Thank God. But I appreciate the faith of the operation of God. I'm glad that I got a diagnosis one day. I'm glad that I have a donor, a proper donor. And I'm glad I've got a great physician. And I'm glad that I said, yes, would you please operate on me? And there's where it is. Do you want him to do it or not? There's where it is. I've seen people that go to the doctor. They give them a terminal. And your terminal, if you're lost, your terminal. Your terminal. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. Your terminal. There ain't nobody. If you don't believe this book, just wait long enough. Everybody faces death. It's true. Your terminal. But I've seen people that go. They go to the doctor and they say, you're terminal. You're going to die, but we can do this and you can live. And they say, I ain't doing nothing. You can sit here this morning and say, I ain't doing nothing.
Amen.
Or you can say, please. Perform this on me. Put me in him.
Amen.
Cut me loose and put me in him. Let me experience your love.
Amen.
Ain't that good? That's what happened on the road to Damascus. Paul was over there and the Lord appeared to him, that great light. And he said, Saul, Saul, why kickest thou against the pricks? And I believe with all my heart this is what it means. Why are you kicking against my love? You're trying to keep the law and I'm trying to love you. Why are you kicking against grace and mercy? Why are you kicking against the goodness of God? He's not trying to be mean to you. He's trying to love on you. He's trying to give you more than anybody has ever offered you. Why are you kicking against that? It's doing nothing but hurting you. Waiting on God to do something is doing nothing but hurting you. Come to Him. I said this and I'm going to close. Thursday night, you go to the doctor. You go to the doctor or you try to get an appointment. And it's wait. Wait. I'll see you in 3 months. That's my first available. But I read about him. He's got an opening this morning. Right now. He said, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. I'll perform the surgery right now. I'll cut you loose right now and put you in him. And there is no rehab. You'll walk out here walking better than you've ever walked. You'll walk out of here with a bigger smile than you've ever had in your life. You'll walk out of here with more joy. More happiness than you can ever buy. So we'll get it done and that right quickly. And that's how he does it. Thank God. And he's interested in doing it for you. Now I preach a lot of times. Now I know, realize I'm not preaching to everybody. But if you're lost this morning, and as I prayed earlier, if the Holy Ghost has showed you your need, now's the time. It ain't sometime down the road. Don't do like one man did and said, in a more convenient season. Why forget that business? You may not have a more convenient season. When God speaks to you, you go. You go. Danny, would y'all come up here and sing a song real quick? Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, I ain't going to keep them. But if you need something this morning, I want you to have the opportunity. I mean, if you need something, help them, Lord. Amen. Amen. That's your brother. Amen. Come up here and pray with him, will you? Y'all come over here and sing. Y'all. Just ask him. He'll help you. There you go. Church, y'all pray. Y'all sing.
Whatever you need. Lord, we are. Lord, you do. Lord, I ask you to help. I ask you, Lord. God, the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, God, this is you glad that you're able. Our Father, you're able to save. You're able to touch. You're able to do what our Father we cannot do. Our Father, I'm glad that you love us. Lord, I'm glad you love us. I'm glad that you
do.
Said Brother Nathan will be here, and if you would come forward to hearing him anyway. I'm looking forward to seeing him. Been a little while, but if you would just be praying. I'm going to let you stand to your feet. We'll go here in a minute. But ain't God good?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.